Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Virginia, who's here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the Transcending Fear Retreat. Welcome, Virginia.
Hi, Lakota. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah.
Well, I've been kind of considering the New Year's Fear Retreat, and I just wanted to tell you a few of the things that are coming up for me as I consider what I learned and the insights I had during the retreat.
Yeah, please.
Okay. There's a lot of high energy right now, as you might imagine. But
an opportunity to practice with the content of the retreat right here.
it is so that. It is in a really lovely way, actually, in a really lovely way. So I wanted to say first that I didn't think I had fear. I didn't think fear was a part of the deal for me before I attended the retreat. Yeah. So I just thought there were other things that, but I didn't really see the role that fear plays in conditioned patterns before I attended the retreat.
Not even seeing fear as a process arising until attending the retreat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there I got to see how fear is actually at the bottom of all conditioned patterns. And also how it disguises itself so that I will see it.
You got to see during that retreat how fear is kind of at the bottom of all of those conditioned patterns and the many different ways that fear has of disguising itself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And one particular experience that was really exciting and eye-opening was, I was looking at one of the ways that it disguises itself in the conditioned patterns that I experience is through avoidance. Yes.
Great to recognize, right? So maybe they're out in the world, they're seeing that there's this pattern of avoidance, and maybe there's awareness that, I have this thing going on with avoidance, but maybe not connecting the dots that underneath that avoidance, there's this fear going on, yeah?
Right. Yeah. And that, and it's kind of the disguise. I mean, in a way, avoidance for me is kind of a disguise. I see it as like a disguise, of the fear. And then while on retreat, I got to have an experience of what that is like to have the avoidance.
Oh, yeah. Say more.
So it involved, I was doing a two-handed recording, actually. And so the idea is when I place the recorder in the right hand is to, like, get out whatever the thing is, whether it's conditioning talking or whatever, just to get it out. And, and I went to do that, and what came out for me was kind of an identity who likes to smooth things over. So it was really hard. At first, it was hard to get it out.
So there was an opportunity to do the two-handed recording listening. And as you were getting ready to do that, there was this there was an avoidance of doing the two-handed recording and listening and seeing that pattern come up around that.
Well, actually, I actually did the recording several times, not to get it perfect. I mean, I did the process several times, but to kind of go down layer by layer. So typically the way avoidance shows up for me is through this kind of peacemaker identity, like let's just kind of not get intense about anything. Let's not talk about anything that's really intense. And so when I went to put the recorder on my right hand, that personality showed up, the one that likes to avoid intensity or anything, like,
So the avoidance showed up with this kind of peacemaker identity that doesn't want to kind of talk about anything intense, and so when there's the opportunity to put the recorder in the right hand and just kind of let it out uncensored,
right,
there was that kind of avoidance in the form of that identity.
It was really exciting to see. And then what happened, as I said, I did this process several times, because what happened the first round was who showed up with the left hand was the person who hates the peacemaker.
Right. Yeah, so the first couple of times you practiced with this, putting it in the left hand, who showed up was the identity of, or whatever, that hates the peacemaker.
The identity who hates the peacemaker. And so as I proceeded to do this several times, well, actually, I think probably the second time, when I put the recorder in the left hand, the kind, compassionate, conscious, compassionate awareness is what showed up. And that kind, compassionate awareness was able to recognize what was happening and was able to just hold it all and not be taken in by it, not be afraid of it, and not hate it or resist it.
Wow, yeah. So as you continued to practice with that and continued to practice with that recording in the left hand, what eventually showed up was the, sounds like the conscious, compassionate awareness who was able to embrace the whole thing in unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes. And in fact, that conscious, compassionate awareness did that by reflecting the other parts.
Other
identities. So it reflected them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a way that was just like kind and accepting and just kind of matter-of-factly, okay, you know, not judging and not criticizing. It was really like, it was lovely. And actually, what happened for me of the transformational part was that in that process of holding it all and reflecting it all without any kind of judgment, embracing it, like you said, it's like what I received, my experience, was feeling attended to, like really seen and heard and acknowledged.
Yeah, the experience overall at the end with the two-handed recording and listening was feeling attended to, heard, acknowledged. As you were talking, just that experience of it sounds like, you know, when you first came to it, putting in the right hand, there was the resistance, there was the avoidance, the, gosh, I don't want to talk about what's really coming up. There's that peacemaker identity.
As
you were describing that, I was just hearing this willingness to stick with it and to continue using the tools, doing the practice, and eventually it sounds like getting to the place where you're able to kind of let that authentic expression out onto the recorder. And then you put it in the left hand. And at first what comes up is that the kind of resistance or maybe fear in the form of a judgment or hatred or criticism of that personality that was coming up. But again, same thing. The way you described it, there was just sticking with it, using the tool, not giving up, and eventually tapping it, and probably, I projected, not too long a period of time, right? Because it's only a week-long retreat.
Yes,
tapping
into
that unconditional love and that acceptance and that the presence of the mentor there. And then overall having this experience of feeling accepted, seen, acknowledged, and heard.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just being on retreat like that, there was really willingness and something dropped in. It just dropped out. But there was willingness, but also, I mean, the way it's set up is it's kind of matter of fact. The environment that's created is that allowed me to be able to look at that look at the fear without fear.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, that's what a great point there. Just that it sounds like the supportive, kind of loving environment of that retreat really creates that safe space for us all to look at the fear without being kind of afraid of the fear, maybe, or overwhelmed by the fear, that we have this safe, supportive environment where we can look at this stuff.
Right. And it's seamless. I mean, you know, it just, yeah. It wasn't an effort to get there. It was just like that was there. That environment was there, and then the willingness shows up, and then it's just, it would be really beautiful in it. And to have that kind of experience with the compassionate awareness, just, you know, really for me, it felt like it's the thing that I've been seeking, you know, my whole life, to have that kind of attending to. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just got goosebumps there. The thing that you've been seeking the whole life, that transformative experience of being attended to and cared for in that way, I project. And love the way you describe it, too. Just the combination of the sincere willingness of the participant who shows up to do this work and who shows up and brings everything to it, and that willingness to kind of keep at it and keep with the tools and keep with the practice, and then coupled with the incredibly supportive, seamless environment of the Sangha creates on retreat, it's just a winning combination, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. And I just, the one other thing I would add is just that, like, all parts are included. All aspects of being a human being are inclusive. It's so inclusive feeling to be embraced in that conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yeah. It sure is, isn't it? As you're describing that, I was just seeing that, you know, that there's nothing left out of that circle of acceptance.
Yeah.
That it just gets wider and wider and wider to include everything, all parts, all human experiences. It's all welcome there.
Yes, and that just touches my heart so deeply.
mine too.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I see we're about at the end of our time here. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, I think that's the final note, Lakota. Just that deep, touching of my heart, that inclusiveness, and like you said, that gets wider and wider and wider. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. A beautiful note to end on. Thanks so much, Virginia, for being with us tonight.
Thanks for the invitation. Bye-bye. Gassho.
Take care. Good night. All right, Michael. We'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
That's great. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Virginia. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
As I think much of the Sangha knows, today is the first day of a fantastic email class, which is very exciting for all of us and has Sherry up to her eyeballs in email. So,
yes,
she, I think, is working away on the email class as we speak.
Yes, including emails from you and probably and from me, definitely also.
That's exactly right.
Stack of them.
The least we can do is pitch here, right? So I'm really excited for it. It's really fun. Yep.
Yeah, great. Me too. And 100 words. I felt like I could write a novel there. It's great.
Exactly. So usually email class responses are 50 words, but for the first one, for the Socratic class, it was 100. It did feel spacious, didn't it?
Yes. It was good.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that conversation. Two things struck me. One was how excited Virginia was talking about fear. About this
What a good
to
point.
Be all excited about it.
Yeah. I love that too. Did you have a second one?
Yeah, and the second thing I was going to say is that I've been doing this practice for, you know, many years, and I can forget, or conditioning can sort of wipe away the fact that it's an amazing practice that is incredibly transformative and supportive and just incredible.
Yeah, that's another great point. And hearing people describe their experience of transformation really does bring it back to the forefront of our awareness, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the thing I loved about what Virginia laid out is just that progression of, I don't think fear is a really big thing for me. Yeah, you know, that's not a huge, you know, I struggle with X, Y, and Z, but, you know, not really fear. But then that willingness I project to, you know, go check it out, right? So to go on the retreat and then the willingness to be guided through everything that we're guided through and exercises and all that. And then to suddenly start to see it. Oh, okay, here it is. You know, that some form of resistance hits. And then that beautiful willingness of just kind of rolling up our sleeves. And then truly, that is the process of getting to go right through it to the transcending piece of the program, right? So sometimes we'll say, oh, yeah, the fear retreat is coming up. Well, it's not the fear retreat. It's transcending fear. Right? And that's that critical piece that she laid out is you have to, it's like Ashwini always says, if we're going to transcend it, we have to encounter it. And so it's such a brilliant move in a way on conditioning's part to keep it hidden from us. No, it's not. It's not a thing for me. Fear doesn't really, it's not a big thing for me. Because then there's no chance to transcend it. So to have that courage and that willingness to encounter it so that we can transcend it in the way that Virginia described is just so amazing.
Yes, yes. And what dropped in as you were talking is that you and the monks and Sherry and Ashwini, you know, create the curriculum and create the privileged environment. So all of the training tools are there. And then when Virginia and each of us bring our willingness to go through that curriculum and be in that environment for however many days it is, you know, the result, as you say, is that magical transcendence.
Yeah, it's a foregone conclusion, isn't it? It's why Sherry always talks, all we have to do is show up. That's really all we have to do. Everything else happens. We do the showing up part and everything else happens.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, as you say that, you know, Ashwini and the monks and Sherry and all of that, that every person named in all of it and all of Sangha is having that same experience of transformation. Right? Whatever role we're playing, that's what we're all participating in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And I feel complete for today's show. So.
Exactly. Nice talking to you, Michael.
And maybe there's more.
But there could be. There always is, right? There always
there's
is.
Always
and that's
more.
That enthusiasm place, right? That being so lit up talking about fear. It's that when we get to that place of, I mean, in a sense, it is complete in every moment, and we're excited for whatever's next.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Is there anything you wanted to start us with before I read the announcements?
No, because I think you're going to say the only one that I would say, which is that there's an opportunity, I believe, to go to that very retreat coming up. Is that on your announcement?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
That's one of my announcements. Yes.
Right.
And I'll start with that one. Why not? The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Join Sherry and Ashwini in a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 15th through 20th in North Carolina. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and to practice life's joy.
So given that amazing conversation that Virginia and Lakota just had, I think the only thing to add in there is, as we always do when there's going to be a retreat in that location, the incredible beauty of that retreat center. It's really, and the time
great.
Of year is just perfect. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Springtime. Yes.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And for the courageous work of ending self-hate and finding compassion for yourself and others, join the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Also an amazing retreat, and I think rush to your computer if you're interested in that one because it's filling up very fast, if not already full. So,
Right. Yep. Coming up in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to get away from the daily routine and find support for awareness practice, sign up for the practice weekend at the monastery May 5th through 7th. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, participants enjoy practice activities and guidance in the peace and beauty of the monastery grounds.
Those weekends are so fun. We just had one.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, and you know, what people talked about in this last one was in the Sunday morning group, gosh, was it really just a weekend? It feels like we just had an eight-day retreat.
Yes.
So much happens in that period of time.
Yes, when we're present, it does, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, yeah.
And for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Jen today, you can make that show by pressing *6 and then 1. And about a 5-minute conversation on one topic, please, is really helpful. Okay, Jen, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Are you there?
Heard it. Can you hear me okay?
We can now.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, it's not coming on my phone really well, so I'm going to plug back into it. This is Joyce.
And, hi, Joyce.
I signed in really and
say that first name again, you.
I signed in really early and thought, and I was in a very identified place.
Uh-huh.
And so my hands just reached out and hit that *6.
Uh-huh. So we can say there wasn't whole identification because there was something that was willing, A, to call in early, and hit *6.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's that magic willingness we were talking about a couple of minutes ago?
It is. And I can actually laugh now, and I really don't know, Jen. my week has been just so full that I, even recording and listening, it seems conditioning is keeping me from doing much of anything except what seems like survival.
Uh-huh. And so let me ask you this, Joyce. Then what was it like to actually have it occur to you to call into the show, do it, and then press *6?
It's a relief.
Such a relief, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's such a huge relief.
To,
go ahead.
It's a relief to actually turn to my heart.
Yes.
Knowing that
well,
I've been up in my head, and there's just,
yep.
there's all this stuff going on, and I have to do this, and I have company, and
yep.
there's a retirement
yep.
party, and two birthday parties, and it
yep.
just, it
yep.
just keeps juggling these balls, and it's like, whoa, stop.
Yep. Yes. Yes. And so I'll bet you know, because I think you follow along with the Project Joy, that was our very assignment today, wasn't it? So the quote was, climb Mount Fuji, oh snail, but slowly, slowly. And today I think the prompt was to something along the lines of, I don't want to butcher it, but that we're moving at the speed of life and that the suffering happens when we're in a story about either it's too fast and I want it to be slower, or it's too slow and I want it to be faster, or however it is. But that relief of turning to the heart and just in this moment, it occurs to me to call into the show. I can, and so I do it. And, you know, the thing to me that's so really almost magic about that is that if I'm willing to keep my attention there with that, everything that's come before is irrelevant.
Yes.
Because there, in that moment, I'm here, I'm present, I've turned to my heart. Good, we're back. That's it. It doesn't matter how much I've recorded and listened this week. It doesn't matter, you know, was I identified, was I not identified. All of that, in a sense, is moot at this point. I'm starting fresh in this moment.
Oh, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
there was a sense of that, and I didn't have the words. It was just like, I'm here, I got here.
Celebrate.
I didn't go with everyone else today on this trip that I didn't even know where it was going or what it was doing. It was, I'm staying home.
Mm-hmm.
And that home was heart home.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking to you, it brings that realization up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if I, when I'm no longer here, then what I can, well, I mean on the phone, then I'm grabbing the recorder and doing the recording and listening that I haven't been able to get to. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And to me, that's such a place of celebration, because I don't know about you, but when I'm in busy times like that, and then suddenly a space opens up, because in this case, you know, I choose to not go on the trip that I might have been going on, so sort of some time opens up. The temptation, at least for me, to then hit that to-do list, you know, sort of in this idea that I'm going to create some future space for myself, but instead to have the willingness to prioritize the very things that I know I need to do to stay with my heart, to stay present, to practice being here. The willingness to do that, that's such a celebration that we can find that, that we have that muscle, in a sense, to make those choices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a to-do list, but I have been going at it slowly. I would, the intensity would start, and it was like, whoa. And I would just you know, gear it all back and
I love torturing conditioning in those instances. But so, you know, going through kind of speed of life, going through the list, and then that intensity starts up, you know, through a conversation, which is the only way it can ramp up, right? And so then just to turn to it and say, okay, well, if I'm not going to play that game, so we'll just stop. We won't do anything until that subsides and just watch it go crazy. Oh, you have to keep going. Well, yeah, we'll keep going as soon as we're out of that conversation. Yep.
I keep going at the speed of a snail.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks so
That's
much,
great.
Jen.
Thank you, Joyce. Take care.
Good night. Have a great evening.
You too. Go happy.
All right. Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Joyce. Jen, it was great to hear Joyce's willingness to call in from that place of identification.
Yeah, I know. Right? We get talked into, I have to have this all figured out and all kind of set and ready to go, and then I'll call in.
Right.
Because, of course, I mean, technically, I suppose it's almost impossible to call in from a place of identification, isn't it? Because it would never occur to us to call in if we were truly wholly identified.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I loved your point about when that space opens up unexpectedly in the schedule, and can we make the choice to do the things that take care of us when we have that opportunity?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, because at least for me, the choice to do the things on the to-do list is because of a vacant promise that it's going to bring me the things that I want.
Hmm.
So it's this convoluted, like, I never stop to question, wait, that doesn't make sense. Why don't I just do what will bring me what I want now instead of rushing through a bunch of to-dos that will bring me that supposedly later?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
Great.
Next caller.
Your question.
You are now live on the air.
Live on the air.
We have an echo.
I'm getting a big echo.
Hey, Jen, it's Laura in San Diego, and I'm using the computer, so I'm just going to say hello and goodbye.
Okay.
We're not hearing the echo now.
If you mute the computer, I think
that would take care of it.
Let me try. Can you hear me now?
Can.
Yeah. Then I can't hear you.
Yeah.
I see. That is tricky.
That is tricky.
Okay.
Okay.
Michael, any suggestions before we
go? Any suggestions before we give up?
Nothing is dropping.
Okay. Well, gosh, to both.
All right.
Beautiful call. Bye.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, Jen, let's try another one here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle from Charlotte.
Hey, Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So I had an interesting experience yesterday while meditating. So it was about 5:30 in the morning, and I'm sitting, and I have a candle lit. And my cat, Max, periodically when I sit, will try to get my attention and try to get, you know, beg for attention and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yesterday morning, he turns his tail and sets his tail on fire. And it's like,
oh, dear.
And I'm sitting there, and I had been, you know, pretty focused meditating and ignoring his attention-getting activities, but his tail kind of went foosh and lit up, and I just grabbed his tail and put the fire out right quick as he was trying to dash away and set the rest of the house on fire. And I thought, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to start over, and I took a deep breath and started back at one. And, you know, all through the meditation, you know, the house kind of smelled like burnt fur. And I finished meditating, and he was cuddled up with the dog upstairs, kind of pouting. And the dog looks at me like, why did you try to cut the cat on fire? And I told my niece this yesterday evening, and she goes, and you kept meditating? And I said, well, yes. You know, the cat wasn't on fire. I put it out, and the house wasn't on fire, and so I finished my meditation. And she goes, I can't believe you continued meditating. And I thought, I didn't think it was strange at that time, but I'm like, well, you know, there was no reason to not meditate, you know?
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, my gosh. I've been doing this so long that it's like, you know, that's the cat on fire isn't enough to stop me from meditating. Yeah. It wasn't something that conditioning even tried to say, oh, my gosh, the cat's tail was on fire. You can't complete your meditation. I was like, okay, next breath.
I mean, that's huge, Rochelle, isn't it?
It is. And that I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, because Lord knows conditioning tries to get me not to meditate.
That's right.
Much, and then to, you know, that go on, and, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, next breath.
You know, and even it takes me back to what Michael said in response to the good news conversation of that, gosh, you know, I've been practicing for a long time, and it's really easy to forget what an amazing process this is, and I project how much transformation has happened. And then we have an experience like you're describing, and it's mirrored for us. Wow. That's amazing because, you know, where I even went when you said, you know, back to meditating is, had you even stopped meditating that whole time? In that sense that when we practice, everything becomes part of the meditation. You know, it's like the schedule at the monastery. There's sitting meditation, there's walking meditation, there's working meditation, there's cooking meditation, there's eating meditation, you know, mindful eating. It's all meditation. And as you described that story, I just had such an image of you just being completely present right through all of it. Tails on fire, put the fire out. That's the thing to do. That's okay. Go back to the cushion, counting the breath. It's just that seamless presence that is meditation.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of a hot instant, you know, and, you know, put the fire out, but it never, you know, and it was there wasn't even a lot of drama in my head about it. You know, I didn't spend the rest of the meditation thinking about, oh, my gosh, the cat. I really just kept, you know, breathing and stuff and, you know, and kept trying to pay attention to the breath. And so it was just that instant of, okay, right now the cat's tail's on fire. let me grab the cat before he sets the house on fire and and put his tail out and then back to meditation. So it was it was an interesting episode to happen and and my niece, she thought that was awfully strange. She's like, you kept meditating? I'm like, yeah. You know, there wasn't any reason.
I guess I did.
So I just wanted to relay that that little episode.
It's such a fun new Zen story, really, isn't it? Because, again, as you say, how easy it is, or it would have been, for conditioning to kind of start a story of, oh, my God, what if I hadn't, you know, caught the fire and the cat had run off, or I mean, you could have really gotten hurt, or, I mean, all kinds of things, right? All kinds of stories that could have gotten started, but didn't.
Yeah.
It's like there just was nowhere for it to go. It's like the fire, right? You just put it out. There's no oxygen, no fire.
Exactly. And then it's just like, oh, now I'm dealing with a cat's tail on fire, and then back to the breath. And it's just, it was so automatic and so it was surprising. It was so automatic it didn't surprise me until my niece commented that she thought that was extremely strange. And then I was like, well, I guess I, you know. But I'm like, no, I'm on the kitchen. I'm going to be here for 30 minutes. You know, I've got a busy day. If I don't do it now, you know, I'm like, okay, the tail's out, back to the breath.
Yeah, it's so great. It strikes me, too, that it's a big clue for us in terms of, you know, the process of fear, because one of the images I keep getting is it's like intelligence knows, right? In every moment, intelligence is there, like put the fire out, or I keep getting this image of, you know, when you're on the freeway and someone cuts you off. And just that very quick, that ability to react very quickly to safety, you know, so awareness knows if there's a car in the left lane, if there's a car in the right lane. And all that conversation and that, quote, fear doesn't come in until after the fact. And I think what you're describing is such a big clue in not having fear be in the driver's seat of our life, because when it doesn't have a chance to get started, when we stay there, even after that, you know, life is calling us to attention moment, and in the next moment, we have the ability to stay just as present as in that big moment, then, you know, there isn't that ability for it to take us off into fear or whatever other conditioned process it wants to try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was quite an interesting, you know, moment there. Tales from the cushion.
Stories from the cushion, Well, thanks for relaying it. Really
very
helpful.
Good. Well, thank you very much, and welcome back from Cantaloupe.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, fabulous. Thanks, Rochelle.
So, looking forward to the bridge walk and everything this year. I'm not sure I'll be able to go, but I'm just looking forward to all the activities and things. So.
Right. Exactly, because we all participate from where we are, don't we?
Oh, yeah, and the blog post and everything. So I'm so excited, as always, about everything that's going on. So great.
Yeah, me too. Don't get me started, Rochelle. We could have a rest of the show on that. There are some really fun fun things happening on the...
Oh, I know,
sure, we'll do a good news update on that before long. Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rochelle. Take care.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. And Jen, I loved that point about how we... Practice, and conditioning has a story that's nothing's changing. And then there's an incident, cat on fire, and then we realize, wow, I really have an ability to be present here.
That's right. Right. Brings a whole new meaning to, you know, practice like your cat's on fire, right?
Practice like your cat's on fire. That's great. Great.
Yeah. I think sometime as a Sangha, we are going to have to write new Zen stories. There's so much in the
Yeah. Yes, yes, and it's such a privilege that we have this forum to get together like this and hear these fabulous stories.
It is, because, you know, it's so good, isn't it? It's just our everyday life is the materialist transformation.
Yes, it is.
You know? And then to have people call in and talk about, it's just so obvious, right? We're all just living our lives, and the content of that is whatever the content of that is. And everyone's practicing with all of it. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. And what's amazing now, Jen, is that we're going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen Awareness Coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have another caller here.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth. How are you?
Good evening. I have to say that, yes, and thank you for answering, for letting me talk.
Mm.
Can you still hear me?
I can, yeah, even better, actually.
Hello? Are you there?
Yep, I can hear you even better now. Yep.
Okay, I dropped the phone. I apologize.
Okay. Well, it worked well.
Okay, well, I have a particular question.
Okay.
Twice this week, two separate people asked me or kind of pointed out that my wearing the beads is kind of an assimilation of another culture, and I shouldn't do that.
I see. They felt moved.
And the other person, I used the word karma, and they, again, and this other person, completely, totally different, said basically the same thing, that in using the word karma, I was assimilating another culture, and it's part of my daily recollection. I've been saying the word karma, definitely, you know, for the last couple of years with the recording and listening practice, it's become a daily practice.
Uh-huh.
So at this point, they can't take it away from me. it stumped me as far as, like, I don't know what to say to that.
Mm-hmm. And did it seem like you needed to say anything?
Yeah, it's been running in my head since then.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, and some of that, you know, I've seen deeper levels of it.
Deeper levels of
argument with. I was a lost soul. You know,
uh-huh.
My own history. You know, there was nothing to hang on to there. So, you know, it's like when I stumbled into the different practices that I stumbled into, they've
uh-huh.
been, you know, life preservers.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
and wherever it came from, just my practice of it has made it mine. And not mine.
I'm with you, I think.
Meaning, you know, it's like who I am is becoming less and less clear.
Right. And in Zen, of course, we celebrate that, right?
Yeah, but it ain't easy.
What's that?
And also, I think, you know, the universe, I mean, this is, I mean, in the 18 years that I've been practicing of some form, these questions have never come up, and for them to come up twice in the same week.
That is an interesting communication, isn't it, from life?
Yeah.
Giving you something to look at. So now, when you say that I didn't know how to respond to that, and then you say it's been running in your head a lot ever since then.
Yeah.
What I project, I'm not sure.
The real question.
Say that again.
I have not been successful at disengaging from it.
With the conversation in your head.
Yeah.
Is there a sense that, let's see, how do I ask it? If you could answer the question, if you did know how to respond to that, is there a sense that that would exit you out of the conversation in the head?
Yeah, it would go to sleep.
That's revealing,
like I saw through forgiveness. That forgiveness is actually my inability to, my desire to control things. It's really just I have a hard time letting go of things. And then it's like that question, no matter what anybody says about forgiveness, it doesn't bug me. It doesn't, that it did for years.
So it's a koan.
Yeah, it's a koan.
And it sounds like, you know, I mean, as awareness practice practitioners, when something like that comes up for us, of course, and I think this is what you're saying, we don't literally need to answer the question, right? I mean, on a very basic level, it's really no one's business. But the fact that there's such an internal reaction to it, that's what, as practitioners, that's what we're paying attention to, right? That's
well, I
want to
be a good girl.
Right, the karma wants to be good, which is one of the pieces that you're going to see with this, right? And that's the whole point of all of it is, oh, my gosh, wow, look at that. I mean, it's a version of what Rochelle was talking about, that it's just this, her cat caught on fire in meditation, and then her niece made a comment. And based on that, she got to see a whole bunch of stuff. For you, you had two people ask this very similar question in 1 week, and you know, completely out of your control, not you thinking about it or anything, it triggers all of this stuff internally. And as practitioners, what we're doing is we're just going, oh, look at that. Wow. Right? And we really don't need to do anything with any of it. It just becomes interesting, and we just watch everything that happens around it and hopefully record, you know, especially because in my experience, if we can begin to have that attitude of mind, that curious attitude of mind, that, this is probably for my liberation, then the insights start to open up and be available to us. Whereas if there really is a, gosh, why are they asking me that? And, I mean, I don't know what the version would be for you, but for me it would be something like, what am I supposed to say to that? You know, what do they think of me? Whatever it is.
The
whole thing
connection.
Down.
It's like, am I losing a connection? Am I going to be on the outside again? Am I going to be alone?
There you go. Right? And so there's a window into a whole karma that probably, when you're not aware of it, it's like we were talking about with Virginia. No, I'm not afraid, right? But it's, of course, she is, you know, for all of us, fear is back there. And if we're not aware of it, it's invisibly driving. So for you, there's a whole thing around, you know, connection and not wanting to be left out, and, you know, however that plays out. And so to have it triggered and brought forward for you so that you can see it is really, in a sense, cause for celebration.
The Buddhists, you know, said you have to work out your own salvation for yourself.
Yeah.
And
well, feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mine, is, sorry, there's 12 stops trying to juggle there. Can you say that again? Because it was what I needed to hear.
Uh-huh. Well, just that place that we, because we want to transcend all of it, we want to be free of all of it, then when we encounter it, when it comes, when it's triggered for us, we could say it can be cause for celebration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you
when
know,
it's up is when you can meet it. Otherwise, it's just a mental working.
Yeah. But, yeah. And, you know, the fact that it came up twice in 1 week, to me, there's a, I mean, who knows, right? We kind of make all this stuff up. But to figure, gosh, then maybe this person we call Beth is ready to look at this in a way that maybe until now she hadn't been. Right? And then we can celebrate that, and we can support her like crazy, bring all kinds of patience and kindness to the process. You know, no hurry, nowhere to get. We're just looking at all of it together.
Yeah, well, the hurry thing is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough time. I'm running out of time.
Right. Right. But, you know, it's so interesting, Beth. I can relate to that one, too, the running out of time. And what I always look at is, okay, but if in this moment I'm completely relaxed and patient as I see through this, that is what I want. That's what I want.
It is what I
want. Right? In that care and patience and kindness and compassion all the time. So if I approach the karma that's coming up in this moment from that process, then the beautiful thing is not only is the karma getting worn away, but in the meantime, I'm getting to experience the process that I want to experience.
Yes. And that does create a lot of time.
It does. Right.
Because it's just a waste of time.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, the conversation is a huge waste of time. And that's all it's trying to get us to do, you know, is to, you know, waste our time for us and then scream at us about how we're running out of time.
Yes.
And all along, the alchemy, the magic, the sort of Aikido move of just stopping and being here in this moment completely with, right, the definition of compassion, completely with whatever is.
Yeah, you're right. This is somewhat of a distraction. It is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I am truly grateful to everybody who came before who brought the Dharma to me.
I know. Amen.
And I don't feel like it's mine, which is passing through me for just a little while.
That's right. And that everything in the way that Michael was talking about, you know, isn't it great that people get on the radio show and tell us these stories? But then the practice that you're doing and your willingness to share it becomes a gift to everyone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, you know, it's also, my opinion is no more valuable than anybody else's. I'm just working out what works for me.
Yeah, well, it's back to the, you know, we're each working out our own salvation diligently.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, doing the best I can.
Exactly. Doing the best we can, and, you know, there's a lot of cause for celebration. Right, so that doing the best we can come from a, you know, that compassionate place. It can also come from a, you know, a belittling place. Well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. It stinks, but I'm going to have to do.
Yeah, it could be another way of saying it's not my fault.
Exactly. And that all of that's completely irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Particularly because we do live in interesting times. And it seems that practice is just ever so more important.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe that's the gift of the times, is to remind us of that. Because, of course, it always is, right? It's just, as
it
Michael,
always is. Yeah, there have been many interesting places and time in our history.
Yeah. Well, very good. Thank you for sharing it with us, Beth.
Thank you, Jen.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. Jen, it's great to hear everyone's perspective on the teachings, and as you said, you know, we each bring the piece of it that all of us need to hear.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Ashwini thing, right? All the nodes. It takes all the nodes of intelligence.
Yes.
Yeah, and where was it? Oh, I think it was maybe on the show this morning, and a quote that Ashwini was quoting, not the one for the day, but another one about, you know, no one's a mistake. I can't remember it, but it was something like that. No one, you know, we're all here, and how silly it would be to think, well, now I was an error, you know, I made an error in me, you know. No, it's so obviously egocentric, that stance.
Yes, goes back to there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Jen, we have another caller here.
Okay, perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Well, I'm looking at a process that seems to hook me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm feeling a little stuck. And there's something I want to be able to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning says I can't. There's pretty much an incessant, you can't do this, you don't have what it takes, and so on. And
So perfect, right? But I have to do it well, right? And well, there's some invisible standard there. But you can't. You can't do it well, so. But keep trying.
Yeah.
Keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I when you said that, I just have the feeling that I'm just spinning around in a bunch of nonsense that feels so real.
Yeah.
And the point is that when I do this, and this, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. So there are lots of different contents this process happens with. And when I do those things that I really want to do, that I think I am as close to just feeling vital and alive and present as I ever get. And that's what's important.
Yes.
So I do one of them, when I do it, it feels like the cleanest and clearest experience of loving other people that I have.
Wow.
And yet there's this incessant,
yeah.
You can't. You're terrible at that. You're no good. You're just constantly, I'm seeing how that is so distracting. And
let me just make sure I'm tracking with you, Catherine, because I think this is huge. So there are these things that you want to do well, and you know, just for a minute, we'll just put that aside because there's so much right in that very thing, but just to make sure we're all on the same page. So there are these things you want to do well, and that at least some number of those things are things that you realize that when you're engaged in doing them, you feel vital. You feel very alive. And in one case, as close to kind of the deepest experience of loving people as you feel like you have.
Yes.
Am I tracking so far that those are the, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And these are the things then that you're in a conversation about, I really want to do these well, but I'm not. I do them terribly.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Fascinating in itself, isn't it?
Yes. Yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Here you
so
are,
what,
feeling vital, feeling alive. I would project the conversation about how you're doing is going to have to come after that moment of when you're there in it, feeling vital and feeling alive.
Then the the assessment
then
comes afterward?
Words,
is that what you
yes,
said?
The assessment comes afterwards. But
yeah.
There's
yeah.
some, as you say, I mean, that's such a good image of it. It's just, I can't remember exactly what you said. It was brilliant. But that you're just racing around in this thing that's an illusion.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at what is the what was the I heard this one from Joseph Campbell, but I don't it's one of the it's a saying of an indigenous people. Standing on a whale fishing for minnows.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not feeling stuck anymore.
Yeah.
I just I didn't see. So here I'm having this experience, this amazing, awesome experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and being pulled into thinking I'm supposed to be having some other kind of experience and achieving something and looking good.
Yeah.
Looking good. Looking, I mean, you know, and all the,
uh-huh.
the aspects of that, not looking physically good necessarily, but just doing well and having
mm-hmm.
people's esteem and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and the irony, again, is that, so, you know, if we do one of those, okay, so if I could have all those things, I look good, I have people's esteem, right? And we keep asking those questions, then what would I have? Then what would I have? Well, you know, I'd have this feeling of being vital and alive and here and in my life. Oh, wait, that is what I was feeling.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I just had that, yeah, doing the thing that I wanted to do.
I love to try to do all these things I'm supposed to have to do to have that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's insane. But you know what I love, Catherine, about what you just said, you know, gosh, I'm not feeling stuck anymore, is it so underlines the process of what practice is, of what group is, the radio show, recording, listening, facilitation, because all we're doing, we're not solving problems, right? We're never, like, figuring out a content. We're just basically, there's that, I project, that for everyone who, everyone has talked about it tonight in some form, there's the intelligence of, I'm going to call into the radio show, right? And I project it comes from that place of, I just need to make that movement out of the, quote, stuck,
mm-hmm.
the present. So
mm-hmm.
we start talking about the thing, you know, well, this happened and that happened and, you know, my cousin and my whatever, you know, we talk
yeah.
about the thing, but it's in that process of processing, of, you know, facilitating, of talking about it, of being reflected, all those things, that we then make that movement to back here, and then we're not stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So it's just so, I don't know, I find it relaxing that, you know, we never have to solve anything, but we also don't need to, you know, when we're stuck in something, as you say, that can feel dismissive or not helpful. You know, just get over it. It's an illusion, right? Just
mm-hmm.
let it go. Well, that doesn't
yeah.
always feel so accessible.
Yeah, you saw this. Why can't you drop it?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So then that's just our cue to, oh, well, if there's any suffering happening, there's any conversation happening, I'm not here. That's all. Right? And
yeah.
Even that's not a problem. We don't have to make that wrong. It doesn't make me bad. It just means if I don't want to suffer, if I want to exit that, then I just need to do the things that will help me to get back here.
Mm-hmm.
Calling into the radio show, you know, recording and listening, going to group. I mean, there's a million ways we can do that these days.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, something just kind of a piece of this is, you know, getting good at something and being good and impressing people or impressing myself or whatever, having whatever experience, that it's always got me chasing my tail kind of thing. So I'm always after something. I'm after something.
Yeah.
And then it turns, you know, for me, it'll turn around with, you know, I'm 70. It'll turn around, well, you're too old now. It's too late. You can't get, you know, I mean, it's just going to rear up and bite me no matter what I do.
Definitely.
And when I'm caught in that. And
yes.
It's so nice to know that I actually do have experience. I do have the experience of being alive and being here, and just feeling the beauty and the wonder of the planet and people and my life. And I do have that experience. And I don't need
exactly.
to get anywhere.
That's right. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Exactly. I'm already here. Just get here.
And that's the thing, right? It's the old what we focus on grows. So if what I want is vitality, then that's what I need to focus on, right? What we practice is what we have. And
mm-hmm.
so if I'm focused on, you know, getting better and impressing and, you know, it's always that I'm almost there. I just try harder, just do a little more, tweak this over here. Oh, you're almost, you know, then that's the process I'll have always. It's just,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's science.
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we catch on to, gosh, what I want is vitality, not only do I want that, I have experiences of that. I even
mm-hmm.
have particular ways I experience that in my life, so I can practice having that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Catherine. That was really helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. I'm feeling present. It feels great.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me of Michael's thing of, you know, thanking people for being willing to call in when they're, quote, identified. Because it's like, you know, in a way, it's kind of fun to have it's like being in science class and doing an actual experiment, right? We get,
mm-hmm.
we get to have a live example. Someone who's
yeah.
willing to walk through the steps with us so we can all have that experience. You know, it's one thing I think a lot of us get excited when we've had that experience. Oh, my gosh, I was so identified, and then I saw this thing, which is really fun to hear and inspiring
mm-hmm.
and exciting and all that. And it's also fun to be willing to walk through those steps live on the radio show.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate this. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful for the show, and I'm just.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really glad I had an opportunity to call in, and it just the timing worked, and
I'm
just feeling very grateful.
It all came together. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And wow, it really did all come together, Jen. It's great.
It is. Yep. It always does, doesn't it?
Yes, and right on schedule tonight. Perfect timing.
We do our best.
We do our best. And thank you so much for being here while Sherry is busy on the keyboard.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Great.
Great. My pleasure, too. And I'll talk with you soon.
Sounds good. Good
night. Thank you, Jen. Good night.
Thank you.